one of the world's most powerful clubs hits a defining moment. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. The future of the club of powerful countries called the Group of Eight is in question. Seven of its members, including the U.S., are meeting today in the Netherlands as part of a separate summit on nuclear issues. Its eighth and newest member, Russia, is at the top of the agenda, but the country did not get an invitation given its role in Ukraine, Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Without Russia, the G8 goes back to what it used to be, the G7. Ian Hurd teaches political science at Northwestern University.
It's meant to be the collection of the leading liberal, democratic, capitalist, industrialized countries.
A collection of countries that Russia joined back in 1998.
I think there is a lot of value in symbolic terms to having a seat at the table.
But, Hurd says, Russia has not been a great fit. Charles Kaptchen's a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, and he says the role of the G8, or the G7, has changed.
The group has focused less on the long-term economic issues and more on urgent geopolitical issues.
Like Crimea. And according to Ishwar Prasad, a professor of international economics at Cornell, there's an irony to the G8.
This particular grouping takes on more significance when it excludes somebody rather than when it includes somebody.
Prasad says the G20 is a bigger deal now because it includes emerging markets. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Starbucks has made no secret that it wants a $100 billion market capitalization, and we're getting a sense of how it thinks it might get there. This morning, more on a move to sell alcohol at the coffee chain. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports on what is behind the move and the potential pitfalls.
It's no guarantee Starbucks can draw the hardcore happy hour crowd, but Bloomberg Industries analyst Jennifer Bartasha says the coffee shop chain may be able to lure in young people who've grown up in the store's overstuffed chairs nibbling cookies.
If the millennials start to reach adulthood, an offering of wine and light snacks may actually be something that's very appealing.
Starbucks has got several dozen stores selling liquor today, with plans to expand to 40 by the end of the year. With this comes practical costs, liquor licenses, training staff, just washing dishes. But former Starbucks executive John Moore, who runs the marketing consultancy Brains on Fire, says it's more than that.
There's an old saying that is so true. There is no and in brand. If you try to stand for everything, you ultimately stand for nothing.
This beer and wine move comes after Starbucks spent hundreds of millions to expand its reach into juice, baked goods, and tea. The risk, says Moore, a diluted brand, a word no coffee company ever wants to touch. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
It's been a year since the second largest bank in Cyprus was shut down, leading to a $13 billion European Union bailout. The country's financial services sector was a massive chunk of the economy there, and its resulting overhaul led to many bank depositors in Cyprus losing a chunk of their savings. The BBC's Lucy Burton is in Nicosia, Cyprus, 1 year on. Lucy, good morning.
Good morning, David.
Now, Cyprus was the place where even bank depositors lost some of their money in the banking crisis, the so-called haircut, right?
That's right. It was actually the first time ever, I think, bank depositors lost their money. It wasn't everyone. It was people that had more than 100,000 euros in savings. People were very shocked when they lost their money last year, and slowly people are starting to pick themselves up and think about how they're going to be moving forward.
And when people hear depositors with more than 100,000 euros, $135,000, that seems like a decent amount of money. But the haircut sometimes took down people of more modest means somehow.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when I was here last year and the bailout deal was first announced, I was actually with a family. Their reaction then was, okay, phew, we're all right. We don't have that amount of money. We're not going to get hurt. It'll be people like the rich Russians who invest a lot over here. They're the ones that will get stymied. And of course they have. But people who perhaps had saved up all their lives also lost money. Yesterday I spoke to a guy, Panikos Dimitriou. He's a British Cypriot. And he moved back over here when his wife died, bringing with him the endowment policy. Now, he put that into Laiki Bank, but all of that money has now gone. And he's wandering around Nicosia trying to find a job at 60, something that really is going to be very tough to find with unemployment at about 17.2%.
All right, so it's the dawn of spring. People start thinking about summer. I guess that will mean tourism this year for Cyprus?
That's the hope. I mean, Cyprus has always been known as a nice, idyllic holiday haven. I mean, people will be starting to come back here, and they're trying to slowly bring more people in. The other thing that they're trying to do to boost the economy, and this is quite interesting, is that they found reserves of offshore gas down in the kind of eastern Mediterranean. And the plan is that they can become one of Europe's natural gas exporters, and they're hoping that's really what's going to boost the economy.
The BBC's Lucy Burton in Nicosia, Cyprus. Thank you. It is a new golden age for public offerings of stock, and it could be a golden age of using data to track healthcare. According to published reports this morning, a big Connecticut-based firm that manages healthcare data could reportedly do one of the biggest IPOs of the year. IMS Health has nearly 10,000 employees in 100 countries. It's currently owned by a big private equity firm. A couple of them, actually, and a big Canadian pension fund. What would IMS do with the billions of dollars it would raise by selling stock? Pay down an enormous amount of debt. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.